In a world where uncertainty reigns supreme, where shadows of chaos dance at every turn, one truth emerges unyielding. Preparation is not a luxury, but a lifeline. Behold the Wellness Company, a beacon of readiness amidst the tempestuous seas of fate. Envision a sanctuary of tranquility, where the tumult of unforeseen medical crises finds no purchase. The Wellness Company's Medical Emergency Kit stands as a bastion of assurance, a fortress of resilience against the unseen foes of health. Within its sacred confines lie the tools of salvation. Ivermectin, to ward off the insidious whispers of disease. Emergency antibiotics, to quell the raging storms of infection. Antivirals, to vanquish the relentless tides of contagion, and more. The Wellness Company Medical Emergency Kit is not merely a collection of supplies, it is the embodiment of preparedness itself. Crafted by the hands of esteemed healers led by luminaries such as Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. James Thorpe, Dr. Harvey Risch, and Dr. Drew Pinsky, this kit stands as the pinnacle of safety, the zenith of prevention. These truth-seeking doctors have forged a testament to vigilance, a testament to the unwavering pursuit of well-being. Embrace the certainty that comes from being armed against adversity. Embrace the Wellness Company, for in its embrace lies the promise of resilience, the promise of a brighter tomorrow amidst the chaos of today. Don't wait for the next crisis to strike. Visit twc.health/strangeplanet and use promo code STRANGEPLANET for an exclusive 10% discount. Prepare today and rest easy tomorrow.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Richard Serrett's Strange Planet, following the truth wherever it leads, exposing evil and corruption and the secret machinations of powerful elites, revealing the high strangeness beneath the surface of our supposed reality, coming to you from the Great White North and his studio beneath the stairs. Here's Richard.
And welcome to another episode of Strange Planet. And on this episode, geopolitical and financial astrology. William Stickevers has a broad scope of political, economic, psychological, spiritual, and metaphysical knowledge. He systematically explores possibilities about the future and how they can emerge from the present by weaving current secular trends, geopolitical factors, and mundane astrological portents. He's a counseling astrologer, has been since 1988, mostly in New York City and now in Las Vegas. William is well-versed in psychological, horary, electional, medieval, and Renaissance branches of astrology, certified in astrocartography, and worked with Elfie Lavoll of the Astrological Institute of Research. The website, williamstickevers.com. William, welcome back. How are you?
Hey, Richard. Thanks for having me back again.
First order of business, I got to ask you about the webinar Global Outlook Conference, happening in January. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's something I annually do for non-GTA members, Global Transformation Astrology members, and we go through and assess all the major developments occurring in the world, all the macro factors, all the geopolitical factors, and then we correlate them to the actual astrological macro, or what we would call mundane factors. And, we go through that and we look from the time the astrological new year starts, which actually occurs on March 20th, not January 1st. So we go through, for instance, the upcoming Global Outlook 2023 webinar will begin on March. Well, the actual date will be on January 22nd, 2023 at 11 a.m. Pacific time when it will begin, and it'll be a 4-hour high intensity, heavy duty, high intensity assessment, and it'll be followed with a VIP Q&A session. But what we do is look at the timing of the astrological new year, which is actually on March 20th, when the sun ingresses at the zero Aries. We take a snapshot of that moment, and then we assess out from there and seeing all the different archetypal astrological factors and how they interconnect with the economic, political, and social disruptive elements that threaten to really batter our governments, markets, and institutions around the world over the next several years. So that's what we're going to go into. And it's my 7th annual one. And we generally get a pretty good turnout for this.
Do you have to have a pretty deep understanding of astrology to gain benefit from the webinar?
Not at all. Absolutely. In fact, it's designed for both people who are professional astrologers to just lay people who are open to astrology. I do all the heavy lifting. We do a lot of diagrams. So I don't have to explain that much because people believe what they see. They see the black box projections of China's horoscope of that year, and they could see the red and the green. They could see, wow, that's really stressed. Oh, no wonder why China's going, you know, is really unraveling before our eyes. And then, you know, I really talk about things that are really relevant in terms of what's really going to hit our living room this time next year, right? Not just abstract stuff. We do talk about consciousness, but we talk about it in terms of how that's impacting our decision making.
So the last time I'm a guest host on Coast to Coast AM several times a month, and so I'm also a frequent listener, and I heard you on Coast back in October, and you were talking about the solar eclipse on October the 25th, and that was going to be a harbinger of some surprise developments. So what were the developments that you were predicting based on the eclipse and the charts?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things within a day and a half of the first solar eclipse, we had Xi Jinping, who wins his third term in office, so to speak, right? Mm-hmm. And he makes major proclamations about, you know, COVID, how China, right? How his COVID policies that he masterminded exemplifies the superiority of the Chinese political system, right? He also announces China's plans to remake the international system by 2035, that China, not America, not Apple Computer, not Microsoft, not Amazon, but Chinese companies will be the incubator, first-tier companies that will rule the world, right? So he stresses the importance of that. And what happens? We see during that 2-week period, things begin to unravel in China. And this is followed up by the total lunar eclipse on November 8th. That makes a direct hit on the Chinese horoscope, right on China's Venus, squaring that Mars-Pluto conjunction. It's so potent. And then what do we see? Within days, we see a blaze triggering protests throughout China where people are saying down. And they are not just saying lift the COVID restrictions, all is well. We are committed citizens to the cause. They're saying down with the Chinese Communist Party, remove Xi Jinping from office. This is followed up within days of that outbreak of give me liberty or give me death. That's a quotation attributed to an American politician, Patrick Henry, back in March 23rd, 1775, right? That became the crying call, right? Before the breakout of the American Revolution. So the fact that these eclipses hit China directly, major events occurred on those days, and then followed that, indicates to me as an astrologer, this is not like one and done, you know, CNN talked about it for a day and a half, and now it's all gone. No, these protests are escalating and intensifying all over China right now. And you see people, all right, you have people going on, putting their life on the line, stating that I'm a software engineer and I'm completely devastated now for 3 years. I'm completely broke. I barely get by on the money I receive, right? They're getting 1/3 of their normal salary. They're saying now, they're not afraid of COVID-19, but rather of the hell that we are living in. This is an actual quote from a software engineer who put this out on the internet that went viral. And we're tired, him quoting, we're tired of being deceived by the powerful year after year in China. We demand immediate end to the wrongfulness and absurd zero COVID policy. Allow the people all the freedoms that are guaranteed by our Constitution. End, I repeat, end the one-party dictatorship. Give me liberty or give me death. Now, that is very powerful and potent, and that is going viral right now.
I never dreamt in my wildest imagination that I would see the collapse of the communist China regime in my lifetime. And we haven't seen anything like this since Tiananmen Square, although you could argue it's even bigger than Tiananmen Square because it's so widespread. University campuses, the Apple factory. But Xi, he appears to have blinked. In other words, he's, you know, talking about easing restrictions. Has he now perhaps shown his weakness? Is this going to maybe the people in his supporters in the Politburo and the Central Committee, are they thinking, oh, maybe we made a mistake by basically confirming he's our dictator for life? Did we choose the wrong guy? What are your thoughts? I mean, what do the charts say?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this we're really witnessing at least the onset, the nascent phase of the Great Fall of China, where we have the weakened President Xi faces being toppled by a coup from within his own party after a humiliating COVID climb down, right? Here's the issue though, right? He's the one, he proclaimed himself as the mastermind of the zero COVID policies here, right? So he's asserting that it demonstrates the superiority of China, right? And his rule could crumble because of the eclipse. Look, if this didn't happen during the time of the eclipse, then I wouldn't be really saying this to you and to sharing this with everybody. The fact that it occurred correlated exactly during the time of the eclipse indicates that China's power elite could pressure, right? Could really pressure that type of pressure along with the widespread protest of those in senior ranks in the CCP could turn against Xi, right? And here's the other bigger issue, which is what the eclipse is bringing out here, is because the vax in China is only 21% effective. And the fact that they've been in lockdown for 3 years and there's been no allowance for herd immunity because of the extreme lockdowns or everywhere, all right? The fear is now that the death toll could spiral to 233 million or higher should the country see a full reopening, especially now as we're moving into the Chinese New Year, which is equivalent to their Christmas holiday.
Right, right. Add to that the fact that China is in a demographic winter. I mean, they really, with that one-child policy, I don't know that there's any way out of that free fall of their population that we're going to start to see. So what do the astrological charts look like for China for the next 3-6 months?
Well, we don't even need to go that far. I mean, the you know, one of the things is I talked about in last year's Global 2022 webinar in February. I posted this saying that what does the year of the tiger augur for 2022? And remember, that leads into January 20th, 2023. So we're going to still be in that year. And what was the most dominant planetary alignment during the year of the white tiger, which started on February 1st, 2022, is the Saturn-Uranus square alignment. So what does that imply? Well, first of all, the year of the tiger implies unexpected developments and events that cause massive emotional drama, high intensity developments out of nowhere, scandal, and a dramatic fall from grace, spectacular endings. And what have we seen, right? We've seen this play out, this type of theme play out certainly with Russia. A new, you know, what I posted last year in the webinar was a new Cuban missile crisis, Ukraine, Taiwan. This was actually just before the Ukraine war broke out, right? Large-scale strikes, nationwide protest. We've seen that all over the world. Now we're seeing it in China, right? We're seeing explosive, disturbing revelations after the fact, scandals that could possibly bring down markets, bring down pension funds, like had in the UK, almost happened 4 days away, right? Governments. And so we're seeing the collapse and reform of governments, political parties, pensions, funds, right? Sovereign funds. We're seeing all these things. And also leadership in crisis. So I put Biden presidency in crisis. I should have put, you know, Xi Jinping in crisis. But it doesn't stop there, because what's happening here is that we're transitioning into this period. And as all of this political unraveling is occurring, triggered by, you know, the prolonged exacerbated COVID crisis there, what are we seeing? We saw, right, increasing risks of economy slowing. And what has resulted at? That's resulted right now. This is all over the news. China's economy is now on the brink of collapse like the U.S. almost had in 2008. And what's bringing that on? And here's the biggest thing that nobody's talking about, because in America, because of the politics that went beyond, where we're now seeing basically, we're not really seeing real journalism going on, especially in the financial sector, right? The fact is right now, China has a looming job market collapse as manufacturing orders from China are down 40% in unrelenting demand collapse from the United States, meaning that all the companies, you name it, all the retail has reduced their orders by 40%. And we're in the season of, right? This is Christmas season. This season determines 80% of the income for all American retailers, right? Probably in Europe, probably in Canada too.
Yes.
And in the United States, it's down 40%. There is no recession yet. Everything is fine, right? Because that's what they continue to tell you. And so when that is happening, China's economy is collapsing. Because right now, on top of that, behind all that demand collapse from the U.S., just wait what happens in Europe when Europe starts running out of gas in the next 30 days. Natural gas, all those gas reserves are going to be depleted. Already, we see that happening in Germany now. But China's debt to GDP ratio as of this month, is 300%. And 30% of their GDP is made up of property developers, which are defaulting. And now 650 million homes are empty in China and going into mortgage default. That's more homes than all the people that live in the United States, the third largest population in the world. You got youth unemployment, 20% and growing. You've had 13 bank runs throughout the provinces since August, right? You have all the cities that have been impacted by these COVID lockdowns account for 35% of Chinese GDP. And here's the biggest thing. Apple has accelerated its plans to move its manufacturing centers completely out of China and reduce all its chip reliance in Taiwan over the next 24 months. I mean, they are out. They sense a war is coming. They know this COVID. They don't trust the government, right? They can't get people to work because of the COVID lockdowns. So look, we have a major economic, political, geopolitical macro time bomb. And it's not just what's happening in Europe, not just what's happening in Russia and Ukraine, right? It's happening in China.
Right. I mean, people may sit back and see China as our adversary and cheer and take delight. What's the German expression? Schadenfreude. But that's going to have, when China goes down, that's going to have obviously major, major economic consequences for the rest of the world. Will then President Xi, in an effort to distract from what's happening, invade Taiwan, because this is, you know, this he sees maybe as his legacy, as his gift to the people of China. This is how he'll be remembered while everything else is going to hell in a handbasket at the speed of light. He's going to say, aha, but I give you Taiwan. Is that the outcome, do you think?
Well, when all else fails, they take you to war, as they say, right? But here's the thing. When he became president for the third time, he not only he basically showed China his new team of people, and then he selected his top general, who I don't remember offhand his name, but that general was to provide a war plan for the invasion of Taiwan and the defeat of the American Navy. All right, a tall order, right, to follow. Within 90 days. Right. So they're not ready to do that. So the probability of China taking Taiwan in 2023, right, increases, but I believe 2024 will be the most likely year, possibly 2025. I would think because of the problematic Biden administration, he would want to do that before the next president in 2025. So I think 2024 is more likely based on the astrology, more like based on the context of the military strategy and what China is going to need to roll out and put into place that they don't have in place right now. We're looking at 2024, October 2024.
William Stickevers will be back and discuss more of geopolitical and financial astrology right after this.
This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
We all enjoy a little mystery. Every other week, One Strange Thing presents forgotten stories from America's newspaper archives. They all have something in common, a single element that can't quite be explained. Join us on One Strange Thing, and you'll hear about a man who was literally stricken with genius, a 21st century child who remembered piloting a World War II bomber, a mysterious, unidentifiable blob in Texas, and then there was the lizard man stalking through small-town South Carolina. From cryptids and disappearances to modern-day miracles, One Strange Thing brings you stories that are very real and just a little otherworldly. Subscribe now, wherever you listen.
The truth goes through three.
I'm Andrew Gold, a fallen BBC journalist interviewing the heretics and rebels brave enough to speak out against mainstream narratives. Here's Coleman Hughes, John Ronson, and the Trigonometry podcast guys bringing controversy to the fore.
How'd you feel if a person of a different race moved in next door?
I spent a while with a politically correct faction of the Ku Klux Klan.
The system punishes people for wrongthink. It's heartbreaking.
Here's My Unorthodox Life Netflix star Julia Hart on getting out of a Hasidic Jewish cult.
Why can't I be okay with being silent and subservient? Everyone else is.
And biologist Richard Dawkins on trans activism.
It's perfectly legitimate to say, I am a man, but I feel feminine. But to then say, therefore I am a woman, is just a betrayal of language.
Now it's your turn. Rebel against the mainstream and find a home in this sensible alternative space by subscribing to Heretics Podcast.
Stages. First, it is ridiculed. Second, it is violently opposed. Third, it is accepted as self-evident. You're listening to Richard Serrett's Strange Planet.
Astrological predictions with William Stickevers, williamstickevers.com. And once again, tell us about the Global Outlook 2023 webinar.
Yeah, the Global Outlook 2023 webinar will be held on Zoom. It's a webinar presentation January 22nd, 2023 on a Sunday at 11 a.m. Pacific time. It'll be 4 hours. This will be followed up with a VIP Q&A session after the live webinar, which we will go through every question that everyone presents within that VIP.
So when you're looking at what I must assume are incredibly complex astrological charts and trying to make sense of what's happening in the world, there are trends and there are cycles. Mm-hmm. Are we talking now about trends or are we talking about cycles, and are they I mean, can you buck a trend, but you can't buck a cycle? Is that fair to say?
I think that's fair to say, right? So there are trends that are happening right now, macroeconomic trends, and it is possible. It is possible to have a soft landing. It's very improbable, but it is possible. And that's what many people in Washington and the Bank of International Settlements has planned for 2023. But the cycles would indicate otherwise.
Right. So
and these cycles are much longer cycles. And here's the thing. They're all converging. They've been converging since 2008, and they're intensifying between 2022 all the way through 2027.
All right. So this is this cycle that we're in now, is this what you call the fourth turning?
Exactly. It's the astrology of the fourth turning crisis. And you could just, you know, if you just go back every fourth turning, which is approximately 84 years, we always have major developments in the world that correspond with major historical developments in the United States. So we have global developments that are reflected with, or correspond synchronistically with political economics developments happening in the United States. For instance, if you just go back to the last fourth turning event, which happened between 1929 and 1945, you had the U.S. Neptune return, you had the U.S. second Uranus return. The first Neptune return occurred in the 1930s, 1938, 39. Then you had the second Uranus return that occurred during the height of World War II. What did we have? Great Depression, World War II, Bretton Woods, with the U.S. became the world's military, economic, and technological superpower. If you go back another 84 years, you have the first Uranus return, which correlated with the American Civil War, right? The America became an industrial world power. What also happened during that period? That was the Second Industrial Revolution, and that also correlated with massive revolts of royalty throughout all of Europe, with the exception of Great Britain. Right. So we are in the fourth turning, which is correlating with the U.S. Pluto return happening right now, 2022. And then we're going to have the third Uranus return in 2027. And this fourth turning started in 2008 with the Lehman crisis and will play out full throttle if you give about 20, you know, these type of fourth turnings take about 20 years. They have 20-year runs. So we're looking at now, we looked at the Iraq war, Afghanistan war. We looked at the Lehman crisis. We looked at Trump. We're looking at certainly the Ukraine war, the Cold War, and the escalating tensions over Taiwan with China, right? The everything bubble, right? The question is, are we going to have the greatest recession? Could we go to World War III? Could Ukraine really be the beginning of a larger war? Because here's the question. How many people believe World War II started 1939? Majority. But it really started in 35 when Japan invaded Manchuria started spreading.
Yes.
Right.
Interesting. So in this fourth turning, I mean, right now we are living in a sort of liberal globalist, under a liberal globalist system.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that, of course, we're familiar with the Great Reset and ESG and mm-hmm. all of these things. Is hyper-surveillance, digital currencies, digital passports, does the fourth turning mean that the liberal globalist age is coming to an end? Or is it going to intensify?
I believe it's going to intensify because you have to remember, let's go back to the world's first superpower. There's only been three superpowers. First one was the Roman Empire. The second one was the British Empire. And third one, obviously, is the American Empire. Although Americans claim we don't have an empire, right? That's the big con. So if you're Canadian, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So here's the thing. The Roman Empire went through its first Pluto return, which onset was triggered, I should say, the crisis of the third century. And not only was Rome in a crisis, every kingdom, every bordering empire, everybody, even the Germanic tribes, were impacted because Rome projected its Pluto, so to speak, out onto everyone else, right? That was the way of sort of dealing with the problem. And we're seeing this play out with America, projecting its Pluto onto everyone else. Trade wars, currency wars, technology wars, covert intelligence operation, false flags throughout the planet, global power struggles, dramatic rise and fall of powers, plutocracy. That's a big thing happening now. America operates more like a plutocracy, right? Not a liberal democracy, which it claims to be. It really is run by an oligarchy, right? So we're seeing existential crisis, ontological shocks, black swan events, systemic financial crisis, foreign policy crisis, seeing that now, high intensity conflicts, energy and resource wars. That's all Pluto, right? America is almost egging it on. America has enough oil, natural gas to supply everything it needs to Europe, but it won't do that, right? Oh, and we got to cut down the oil supply. Oh, all that shale oil. Oh, we got to stop that. It's almost like they want a war. It's almost, now look, I'm not playing politics here. It's just, you can just see it without having being politically partisan. And this has to do with rule by democracy, the American empire and the tyranny of plutocracy, or, you know, what you would call, I mean, you know, basically plutocracies, you know, they're very complex, but it really comes down to a powerful group of people of great wealth and power that have special interests, right? That have more impact than the citizens who vote, than voting citizens, right? And are organized, that basically organize and push down policy. I mean, you have people like Noam Chomsky, who he makes a really good case that the modern United States resembles a plutocracy through with some democratic forms. In fact, what he's saying now is essentially America operates as a totalitarian democracy.
Interesting. Getting back to sort of this liberal globalist system, now butting heads with Russia, which, and Putin seems to be wanting to bring about kind of a civilizational state. And, you know, China is a civilization, Russia is a civilization, and they're opposing this liberal globalist sort of one size fits all kind of system. I mean, to me, I look at what's going on in Ukraine and Russia as it's a proxy war between the globalists and this civilization of Russia, mm-hmm. who's mm-hmm. rejecting, you know, Western traditions and values, and which are basically globalist. Mm-hmm. How does that end?
Well, history. Well, look, this goes back to the Thucydides trap, right? This is a Thucydides trap type of scenario, where historically, if you go back over 500 years to the Spanish and Portuguese Empire, where we have the first modern instance of a Thucydides trap, is where a rising power challenging a hegemonic power, right? The hegemonic power or the dominant power does not wait around. They will go on the offense and resolve it through violence. And we saw that happen when we go back. You know, like out of the 16 cases of Thucydides trap scenarios, we have something like out of 16 cases, right, where we have a major power, right, rising power threatening to displace the major ruling power, 12 of those 15 ended in war. The one that most recently ended was the Cold War back in 1991. It was a Cold War that almost went hot back in 1982, 83, almost went hot. Right. Very close. We went down to DEFCON 4 back in 1983. So now we have the current one between the United States and China that started in 2017. So this is what we're seeing here, is that China would be the dominant and Russia would be the subdominant. So it's the U.S. and it's basically, the Schwab power elite. Mm-hmm. Right. Which would be sort of like the political extension of that versus China-Russia.
Right. We'll take a time out and continue to delve into that and talk a little bit about eight red pill truths to understand the current geopolitical crisis. William Stikeviris, williamstikeviris.com is the website. Stay with us.
overwhelmed by investing?
If you're anything like us, the hardest part is getting started. That's why we created the Investing for Beginners podcast.
Our goal is to help simplify money so it can work for you.
We invite guests to demystify investing.
At least try to be setting aside like the minimum 10% into the 401k.
We'll teach you the basics of the market.
Yeah, I think compound interest should be at the start of any discussion about investing. And
we've had investment professionals who teach in a simple way.
A valuation-driven bear market. You know, we haven't really seen yet, and I think everyone's thinking about it, but we haven't really seen yet.
Our Q&A episodes feature questions from listeners just like you.
So what do you think about the situation with ETBI, which is Activision?
I'm Dave Ahern.
And I'm Andrew Sather.
And we hope you join us on the Investing for Beginners podcast.
On the Investing for Beginners podcast.
Have you ever wondered why we call French fries French fries? Or why something is the greatest thing since sliced bread? There are answers to those questions. Everything Everywhere Daily is a podcast for curious people who want to learn more about the world around them. Every day, you'll learn something new about things you never knew you didn't know. Subjects include history, science, geography, mathematics, and culture. If you're a curious person and want to learn more about the world you live in, just subscribe to Everything Everywhere Daily wherever you cast your pod.
The truth will set you free. But first, it will really tick you off. Welcome back to Richard Serrett's Strange Planet.
All right, William Stickevers is here. We're talking about geopolitical financial astrology, williamstickevers.com, and you can register for the Global Outlook 2023 webinar there, happening Jan 22nd. Eight red pill truths to understand the current geopolitical crisis, and people can become a GTA member as well on the website. But just tell me a little bit, what are these eight red pill truths about?
Yeah, you know, it's something that I really think the difference between people and population groups today is between red pillars and blue pillars, right? I'll go into the eight pill, the eight reasons for that, the eight documents for that. But what I'm seeing is that there's people that really get what's going on here. They don't want to take a position. They're not really political. You know, they vote, they switch parties. They don't really care. They're not really so vested into anyone per instance, but they know something's got to shift. They know something is really, really wrong. So what I'm getting at here is that we're seeing more of this happen where people are just deciding, they see what's happening. They listen to Coast, they listen to your show, they listen to me, they join GTA, and they say, listen, something is terribly wrong, right? We are being lied to. And then you have the other half of the population, and we saw this with the U.S. Midterm elections, right? We saw this with the U.S. midterm elections, and that has to do with the fact that half the people who voted, and I looked at this on the AP exit polling, said, yes, there's a recession. Yes, inflation's a problem, but I'm not going to change my vote because I don't feel the president or the party or whoever is really responsible for this. And I do believe ultimately it's going to work itself out. So you have two groups of people split, right? This is the big problem. And that's why I say it's the eight, you know, the red pill truths that people don't want to acknowledge. And I mean, I think the fact is that one of those truths is the postmodern world continues to unravel faster and faster, right? That 1945 world where if you just, you know, didn't get arrested, graduated from college, went, you know, got a job, got a trade, you could work 30 years at a company, get a retirement, move to Florida, play golf all day for the next 20 plus years of your life. I think that has completely collapsed and ended. The baby boomers now see that, right? So that's one of the big factors. I think also the other thing is that the future is happening faster than we think. Because of the planetary alignments, right? We see a convergence of all these outer planetary alignments. The last time we saw that was back during the Renaissance, right? Where technology became the primary driver of civilization. It was no longer the church. We're seeing that happen again. So technology is now the driving narrative of our civilization in nearly every facet and is accelerating even faster and faster than anyone could have anticipated. So, you know, and we're seeing this now. We're seeing the online things like artificial intelligence, collaborative robots, 3D printing, digital biology, decentralized finance, Bitcoin, green energy systems, CRISPR DNA, flying cars, electric vehicles, global wireless gigabit networks. All of this is coming to a theater near you that's going to be extremely and powerfully disruptive in ways, even for the millennial generation, not just the baby boomers are retiring or the Gen X's are trying to muddle through. The other thing is our civilization is undergoing an unprecedented paradigm shift that correlates with the Mayan long count end date. A lot of people think, oh, December 21st, 2012, it's all over. Nothing happens. Steady as it goes. That's not true. According to the Mayan elders, it was the period between December 21st, 2012, and December 7th, 2032, which is this Bakhtun period, right, where the great acceleration or transmission of galactic energy that would accelerate, right, change. And during that 2012 to 2032 period, according to the prophecy, straight from the Mayan elders, there will be increasing scarcity in essential resources. Europe's seeing that now. Food, we're going to see that very soon this coming spring, right, with all of the grain disruptions due to the Ukrainian war, right? Economic distress, according to them, will continue to intensify. Natural disasters will accelerate and increase in frequency. And according to the Mayan elders, this period, which was forecasted back, right, over 5,125 years ago, will be a period with a complete collapse of false belief systems, both sacred religious belief systems and secular, such as the science-based mechanistic materialistic model, right, that emerged since World War I, or actually since the 1880s. So we're going to see a complete loss of confidence in political leaders, religious leaders, government officials, right? We're going to see doubt, distrust. This is all part of a transition that's happening for us, not to us. That's the big oversight. We always get caught up with the pathology. We don't get caught up with the reasoning why this is happening, because we hit an impasse. Along with the American fourth turning crisis, which we just discussed, the American Pluto return, which we touched upon a bit, right? Where we're going through a psycho-spiritual death rebirth moment, right? Where we're seeing the destruction of existing conditions and beliefs in America, whether citizens want it or not. And we're seeing massive, deep transformative evolutionary changes happening in this country. And then, you know, the fact that the planetary cyclic index wave will hit its lowest in December 1st, 2022, and will remain there into 2024. The last time it happened and made that drop was the collapse of the Roman Empire. So that's why I believe this is the American Pluto return, the American fourth turning crisis, and all the things that have occurred since 2020 to present correlate with this massive crisis of the 21st century, which we are now in. So, and then the other one I think we could, I think some of the others is that we're seeing the three harbingers of revolution, the 248-year Pluto cycle, the 84-year Uranus cycle, the 28-year Saturn cycle, are all converging perfectly from 2021 to 2028. The last time that happened was during the American Revolution between 1776 to 1783.
I know this will be the subject of your webinar, but just give us a bit of a taste about how do we prepare for this?
Yeah, I think one of the things we need to do is realize that consciousness is shifting. Consciousness is shifting, even though we may not see that happening. So what we have to do is we have to shift our viewpoint. We have to, you know, understand whether we're aware of it or not, we're tapped into energy. And that energy that comes through the universe, from the universe, is literally flowing through us and through us. So, you know, this is where we have to sort of go with the flow. We have to basically, we have to sort of participate in this greater psycho-spiritual death rebirth process. And that's a period of profound sense of uncertainty accompanied by an initiatory rite of passage where the stakes are high and everything is on the line, that will ultimately lead to a radical reconfiguration of our collective values and beliefs when facing some existential development crisis, right, or event. So I believe we're on the precipice of that right now. And I think it is really invoking a deeper spiritual transformation on the collective level.
So I'm a pretty conservative guy, and I have a daily talk show, and I rail against a lot of the things that I see out there.
Yeah.
Am I fighting a losing battle? Should I be going with the flow?
No, you need to amp it up. I think you're holding back too much. I listen to your show every now and then, and I certainly listen to you on Coast to Coast. I'm a big fan of yours. I really think you need to put the pedal to the metal, right? And let it rip and try and cultivate more guests that will really call it like they see it. Because I see a lot of people on the show, they talk a big game and then they get on Coast to Coast and they mute it down and I speak to them a few days later. What happened? They're like, well, you know, right? I don't really want to go there. I might turn people off, but I really think people need to hear it. That's what they're thirsting for. They're thirsting for the truth.
But am I not, and I'm talking about my daily show where I talk, you know, politics and I talk about the culture wars and all of these things. It sounds to me like I'm shoveling, based on what you're saying that's coming at us, this tsunami, I'm shoveling sand against the tide, aren't I?
No, I think you're having impact. I really do. And I, you know, we could talk about Canada for a bit. I have a lot of Canadian GTA members and they are really like, really not happy. They really feel they don't have a government that represents them. And they go from both ends of the political spectrum who are saying this now.
Right. So, when you say we go through this initiatory period and this we're going to go through this massive transformation, in reaction to, you know, some existential threat, on the other side, to me, the equal and opposite reaction to globalism is tribalism, you know, and then getting back to traditional, you know, culture, language, values. Is that our future?
I believe it's going to be a fusion of many different. So I think, you know, I think the thing is we can agree on that we're not going back to 2019 or 2015 or 1999, you know, like we're just not going back there. So the other thing I think we need to factor in, and I think this is going to be a great development, is the integration of AI in every aspect of our life. I do think that's going to be one of the big game changers. We're all afraid of it. We all think we're going to Terminator. And there is truth to that to some degree with the military in terms of what they're deploying. I mean, the next war is not going to be fought by U.S. soldiers by and large, but, you know, artificially intelligent tanks, aircraft, right? You name it, right? That's going to be 80% of where the engagement's going to happen. It's our robots versus theirs, if you will. But I do think we're going to see one of the things is we're going to see drastic shifts and changes by these new technologies. And it, AI is going to be the biggest component of it, along with 3D, 4D manufacturing. So the day of having, you know, construction as we know it, we have to, you know, it costs like $100,000 to build a house today. I mean, that's all going to go away. We're going to have better homes. They'll be able to be 3D printed, right? You'll be able to rent a 3D printing, 4D printing machine, right? Or you can go to a local company and they'll build a house for you within hours or days, right? So we're going to see tremendous revolutionary shifts that will game change our culture in ways that are much more profound than anything we can come up with right now. So we're not going to see the quick solution, but we need to alert people that it's time to take action, to take a position, whether that means, you know, moving, changing your lifestyle, finding a different, you know, look, I think the biggest issue too is most of the jobs that we know of are not going to be around in 5 to 10 years. Most of them, I would say at least 50%.
Wow.
I think that's another big game changer. And government does not have the current form of government and the way of their method of governance does not address any of these issues. I think that's the bigger problem besides the macro factors while we're going through this transition.
Is the transition that you're talking about and the, you talked about the sort of maybe the positive aspects of AI and so forth. Is this the same great reset that Klaus Schwab is talking about?
No. His reset is an artificial reset, which won't work. Ultimately, it's going to fail. It doesn't have any legs to it. The more they try and push that down our throats, the bigger the rebellion. And remember one thing about that reset, it requires a CBDC. It requires a digital monetary component, which FTX was all layered in. That was supposed to be the solution that they were going to push in. Now that got blown up, right? So until they have a CBDC that they could really roll out, and it'll be China's CBDC versus their CBDC, which then the Fed will try and bring in. Until that moment occurs, they can't really implement their plan, and they've been derailed a bit.
To be continued, William. Wow. Always great talking to you, and I hope we can do this again and again on this podcast.
Oh, it was great.
And on Coast as well.
Yeah, it was great to be on. I look forward to being on your show and hopefully with you again on Coast. Have a great holiday.
Merry Christmas to you. Happy holidays. WilliamStickEvers.com. Don't forget the Global Outlook 2023 webinar happening Jan 22nd, 2023, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. And you can, of course, register at WilliamStickEvers.com. And the website, the link is in the episode notes.
A new Richard Serrett's Strange Planet drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Subscribe at StrangePlanetPodcast.com.